Good evening. I thought I was going to show you the snowstorm of 1947 in Wisconsin, but fortunately, a young brother stopped what he was doing and brought the projector to me, which I'm thankful for. And for Dan for setting. Can you hear me? Help me, because I have a tendency to talk down, and especially with this in front of me. So I'll raise your hand in the back if you can't. Ruth, okay? I'm thankful to be here and to be among you once again, and to stand before you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'd like to open with a reading of a scripture from 2 Peter in the 3rd chapter. And I'm going to start here, and it says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds of way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and our Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." We're fortunate in the fact and the knowledge that we have that we have an unchangeable God, and the things that the prophets spoke of old have come to pass, are coming to pass, and will come to pass. And we can stand with steadfastness in knowing these things and look forward to their coming. Fifth verse, "For this they willing are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering in usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." We find that we have a Heavenly Father that has given us promises, that has given us instructions. It lets us know that we're going to go through trials and tribulations in our life, but that He's always will be there for us. That we have a need to repent of our sins and come unto Him, and He'll not forsake us. And that's a promise of an unchangeable God. And we need to dwell on that and remember that and be encouraged by that and be lifted up. Continuing in verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Knowing that the things of the world are going to be burnt up, and the things of the world are to become to naught, you know, what manner of person are we to be? We're to be in holy conversation and godliness. We're to keep ourselves pure and separated from the things of the world. And I hope we can reflect on that tonight and think about that from a personal standpoint of where we are in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You know, are we looking forward to that in holiness, in righteousness? You know, that's the hope that we should have, that the Lord has promised something. There's something beyond this life that is better than anything that we can imagine. And yes, we're going to have trials, there's going to be tribulation, but there's a promise for those that are of holy conversation and godliness, that are numbered among the righteous. And so in this turmoil that we live in and the daily pressures of life, we have to lift ourselves above those things and reflect on those and keep that hope before us. As a goal and as a shining light, that we might not be lost in the darkness of the world. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Instructions for us again. Look for such things. Be diligent that you may be found in him in peace and long-suffering and without spot, blameless. Now, knowing that we have these trials that are put upon us because they humble us and bring us to the salvation that was spoken of by Paul, and gives us the wisdom and the insight. Also, in all his epistles, speaking to them of these things, and which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are learned and unstable rest. And as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Wise counsel to us to continue in the faith, to continue to speak of these things, get an understanding, but not to be drawn away in vain things, in vain babblings, and let our focus be off the main goal of eternal life and salvation. But grow, it says, in grace and in knowledge of our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. So we're to remember to be diligent and not slothful, and recognize the blessings of God in these the last days, and the fullness of the times that we're in, the things that are going to come to pass. We're finding that the things, I believe, that we are living in momentous times, that mighty things are happening among us and among the church and in the world, and in these the last days, and we can see the things coming about that the prophets of old have spoken of and written of in Matthew in the 24th chapter and the 14th verse, where it says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout the world to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And we're at that time. And we need to remember that remember the church in the midst of these things and the blessings of God upon us and upon this work. And I know that we have, but we must be diligent in bringing this gospel message to wherever we can. in the four corners of the earth, in our neighborhoods, down the street, in our own houses. I am fortunate tonight to be able to stand before you and report on some of the activity in my missionary field. And I know I see a couple that were in Phoenix, and they may have heard this, a couple that were at the East Local, but that's all right. They can look at me and know. I'm thankful for the blessings of God upon the work and touching the hearts of the children of men in the different in various countries. When I talk with Apostles Mike McGee and Frank Fan about the work there in the Philippines, it's as if that I'm in Kenya or Tanzania or someplace. And the things that the Lord has done are exactly the same. And we're beginning to see the work grow there in Honduras and reaching out to some of those other little villages. And I'm encouraged. And yet again, I know that there's a vast task before us. I fully expect that in 5 years we'll have 15,000 members in the Church of Christ. And that's mind-boggling for us. But, you know, we see those things before us and the opportunities there and the Lord's blessing and the time frame. You know, the fulfillment of the prophecies. And even though we're overwhelmed by it, we know that it's only through God. It's only through Him touching the hearts of the children of men, preparing them. That the word can go forth, that their hearts would be prepared, that when they hear it, they would gladly receive it and embrace it and cleave onto it. And that's heartwarming. I have every reason to expect that to happen in India and Asia and Central America and South America and the Isles of the Sea, because the Holy Scriptures testify of those things. And these are the days and the times that we live, and we can see it. And so I've been thankful for the opportunities the Lord has given me to travel in Africa. Somewhere I'm going to try this high-tech thing, and the only trouble is you got to find the cursor. How about that? And that actually worked. Not bad for an old man. As most of you know, that Brother Brian McIndoo and I have been assigned, one of the countries we've been assigned is, or continents is Africa. And this conference year, Brian and I haven't traveled together at all. It's completely different after 3 or 4 years of taking every trip together that... except when I was in the hospital, this year we decided that we needed to split up and use our time differently. And Brian went to Kenya with Becky and Kathy Ely and Dwayne Ely in April or May. And since that time has been to Nigeria. And back to Kenya. He tried to go to the Congo and couldn't get in there, and so he got as far as Nairobi and spent the next 4 weeks in Kenya teaching some classes and doing some things that just needed to be done. I, on the other hand, traveled to Nigeria and the Congo. I've been there twice this year, once this conference year, and went back with Bob Oldham to Kenya. He was with me about, 3.5 weeks. It was 4 Sundays. And then I spent the next several weeks traveling with Brother Michael Otero and Moses Uhuru. And they're in Kenya and Tanzania. And we found that, once again, the Lord has blessed our brothers and sisters there in those lands. our brother Joel Yates traveled with Brian when he went to Nigeria. And when I saw him in Phoenix, boy, he was all pumped up. He can't wait to go back. So I hope to take him back this summer with me, or winter, I guess. I'm going to talk a little bit here about Nigeria and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. I traveled with Brother Jay Mosier in June, I guess it was, to Nigeria, and we spent about 2 weeks there, and then traveled to the Democratic Republic of the Congo. I enjoyed that. I think Brother Jay enjoyed it as he was comparing it to the work there in Mexico, and would always comment, and he loved the Congo because they spoke French, and he said, I could learn this language, knowing Spanish as well as he does. I appreciated his insight in being able to come and comment on the work there. This is an intersection there in the city of Ibadan that we've got three congregations in Nigeria. It looks pretty quiet right there. It looks fairly commercial and advanced. The city is pretty well. They have all the things that cities have, and traffic and pollution and everything. The two cities, as I've reported before, that we fly into Lagos, it's got 20 million people. It's a disaster. This particular city only has 4 or 5 million, I think. We've got three congregations here. The church is required to have an office. We rent one of these offices in this building. We're registered in Nigeria now. The government recognizes us. We have been able to move that along very quickly, probably because one of our brothers there had been worked for the government and knows his way in and out of the governmental offices and still has some friends. Like I said, there's three congregations in this town, and then in two more in two small towns, and I think they're reaching out to a sixth town. We own 5 plots of land. There's buildings at various stages of construction on 3 of those. Unfortunately, in Nigeria, it's very expensive in these large towns to buy land. Not expensive by our means, but as far as compared to Kisi or something, in the large towns, it's it costs, I guess it was $3,000 or $4,000 for a lot. I guess we'd like to buy that here, but we do have a couple of temporary buildings. The city has been looking down on them and is suggesting that we move on. And we're trying to do that. It's one of the problems in this country. Is you buy a plot of land, if you don't put a fence around it, somebody's going to move on it and build a house on it and claim it. So we have that to live with. And they routinely sell your lot. I mean, it's a big. There's a lot of scams in Nigeria. It's just unfortunate. This is a picture of our office, and that's I'm the guy on the right. That man in the chair there is Brother Ade. He's coordinating things for us. We rent this office building. It's a half of it, not a building, office. This office, and there's one next to it, is actually rented by another church. But the government requires that we have a place of business there. We're hoping to get a building here that we can move out of this office have a place of our own in one of our buildings. This is just looking out the that window at the a light day of traffic. One of the things that Jay was mentioning to me, he said, this just reminds me of the Philippines and the traffic and everything. There's some of the cultural problems that, I guess Jay was the one that picked it up there. There are very aggressive people. They drive aggressively. They're going a mile a minute. And I don't know if it's because it's an urban area that, where we have the three congregations or some other things. Their driving habits are terrible. We are moving out into smaller villages now, which are a blessing, I think, because I think that's where the growth of the church will be. This happens to be along the road. And these pictures are Brother Jay's. He took it because they reminded him of Yucatan. And this is much of the terrain once you get out of the cities. We don't spend a lot of time out of the city so far, but this is what it looks like. Only difference is they drive about 100 miles an hour here. The next slide here is a slide for one of the missions, Omuhu. It's a place that they rented this building for the day we were there. I think that's what they used the last time. They may have been in a different facility when Brothers Jay and Brian were there. They held classes there. One of the encouraging things that's happened in Nigeria, and I have been discouraged at times with Nigeria, but one of the encouraging thing is in this particular mission is the young men, when their willingness to study and to get together and study, and in two of the congregations in Ibadan that were really influenced by Pentecostalism. Brian, I noticed that the last time I was there, it was completely different than when I had been there in January. Everything had really toned down, and Brian said it was, he didn't notice it at all, and that was a real blessing. They're anxiously waiting for some copies of our hymnals and water to embrace our hymns, and I'm thankful for that. Their culture, like we say, is. You know, the unusual part about this mission here, can you hear me still, Ruth? Okay. It's all young men. I mean, we're not used to that. In Kenya and most of the people that we see in the congregations are women. Or there's some young men, but not, you know, not old men really. I don't know where they are. This is all a lot of young men that really I've got great encouragement. The man standing next to me that is interpreting for me is a school teacher. He teaches at agriculture at one of the universities there, we hope to be able to use him to translate the Book of Mormon into the Yoruba language, a man that he works with at the university that teaches English that is going to help him to do that and to edit that. That's probably some time in the future yet, but we're working on the preliminaries of it. One of the things that we aren't used to is their local government is really a kingdom. This is we had to go and see the king. This is his palace. This is Brother Jay and I, and the king and his wife. And who those other people are, I have no idea, but they wanted their picture taken. This man is a Seventh-day Adventist. He was very friendly. He spoke English. He had been educated in an English school, I'm sure. As we were sitting there, they were trying to prime me or prep me that I was supposed to ask if we could start a church there. I wasn't quite ready to do that. This is our first time in this little community. The man kneeling there is a member of the church, John Ola, and this is the community that he is where it was raised in. And because he brought us into that community, we had to go and see the king and the queen. They got dressed especially for us, and I did ask him if we could start a church there, and he encouraged it. I found out later that one of the reasons you got to ask him if you want to build something, he owns all the land in the kingdom, and you're going to buy it from him. So I was glad I did what I was supposed to do. I'm on the left. This young man on the right, on the far right, is my son Greg. As he reminds me when I see him, his name is Greg, and I told him that I had a son by that name, and so I hadn't seen him in a year, and I said, have I ever met you? He said, yeah, I'm your son Greg. And so he calls me dad, and I call him son. The man in the middle there in the blue shirt is looking at the camera is a young man that's very active in all the congregations. He just graduated from college. His name is David. He and Ade are trying to come to conference this year. They tried last year, and they were turned down for a visa. They're going to pay their own way here, and they hope to come in April. He's spending a year working for the government that was expected to him after they paid for his college education, and he's up in the northern state somewhere. He likes to talk on the phone. I talk to him about once a week. He calls on his computer somehow. But we need to pray for him, however. He's kind of caught up in his job and things and needs to spend more time studying. Same problems we have. In the Congo, this is outside of a home of the man on the right. He's a young man in his 30s. His name is Eli Seping. His family was raised, or he was raised at least the last 20 years, in the Community of Christ or the Reorganized Church. His father was an evangelist. He's the one that contacted me. Most of his family is now baptized. He's a leader there. He'll hold meetings. Their Congo is, both Nigeria and the Congo have got rebel activities. There's some concern. I just read an article this week. I don't remember if it was 1,000 people a month or if it was 1,000 people a week are killed in the Congo by rebel activity. But it's all in a different part of a very large country. However, they have a contact right in the midst of all that, so we'll see. We have a nice congregation there. I'm very pleased with the work there. We have about 40 members in the Congo now. They're all right here. They meet in this town, Lubumbashi. We can fly into that town. They live in one of the suburbs. It would be much like Merida or something, I guess. It's not as nice as Merida. His father is also an attorney. They don't have a lot of money. They rent their home. We met there, 3 days classes. They had about 35 or 40 people in their home. I think, I do have a picture of it later. This next picture I showed because Jay just had to take it. Because of the Arizona T-shirt on the young man, and so when you give clothes to the work there, you can see that they wear anything and everything that they can get, and they'll even wear a T-shirt from Arizona. Sorry about that, Dennis, but he's a cute little guy. We're out there on the street in front of the house. I thought I had a picture of that street, and I don't. Jay baptized 17 people when we were there. This is a beautiful spot. It was a spot that we had used when Brother Rick Olson and I were there. Had a nice service, confirmation service. We then that afternoon we had a sacrament service here. In this is the inside of their house. This is the main room. There's two other rooms off. One I think is a kitchen and one a bedroom, if I can understand. They had moved everything out of this room and got chairs from I don't know where so we could meet. We had a wonderful time there in study. 3 solid days, all day long, of study. And there were many of them that were there were guests. They asked a lot of questions. Some of them were men from other churches. Some of them challenged us sometimes, but not in a hateful way or anything. We were challenged one, and Jay was standing, and I'm thinking to myself, boy, I'm glad he has to answer that question and not me. And what I remember him doing is opening up and quoting something from Christ. He said, well, the Church of Christ stands on the words of Christ and not on some other doctrine. And the man looked at him and said, oh, just took out everything that he could say. So I was thankful, and we're making arrangements to go back there. Brother Bryant, no, that's not a true statement. Yes, Bryant and I are going there in February. In Kenya, I just got back there from Kenya. I was there, like I said, with Bob Oldham for just a little under 4 weeks. Then I traveled some more in Kenya, and in Tanzania. This picture is on the road to. We were taking Bob back to Nairobi to fly out, and saw this. When we came through there 4 weeks later, we saw 9 giraffes in this spot. I was with a man by the name of Simon and Brother Michael. Simon is one of the leaders of the church and coordinates things in the northern district of Kisii for us. He had never been more than 40 miles from home. This is his biggest journey. He was going to Nairobi. He was like a little kid. We had to stop and see all the monkeys and the zebras and the giraffes. And I was thankful he was able to go with us. We encountered problems this time in Kisii in that we had some men from other churches or another church coming and passing anti-Mormon literature and trying to cause some problems. Some of them had been people that at one time had been members of the Church of Christ and had left and were drawn away because this church pays them. Our people were steadfast, and that was a real blessing. It was a blessing to them to know that, why they believe things and where to find it in the scriptures, and to be able to go back and look that and not let these people say untruths to them. One of the testimonies that was given was they came into. Brother Simon came home from a trip. He'd been in Kisii, and these men were at his house, and they were telling him the Church of Christ was falling apart, that Michael and Moses had left the church. And he said, that's unusual. I just left them. And we were in a Book of Mormon study. And so they were, they were caught lying. One other time when he had left, they came back into his house, and they were telling his wife and son that the false teachings that were taught in or given in the Book of Mormon, and the son picked up the Book of Mormon and gave it to him and said, read this and show me where you read those. And it was quite obvious that the man had never read the book, and so the son told him to leave, that he didn't have any reason to talk to him. And that was, to me, was just such a blessing to know that young man, had the wherewithal to, He had read it and knew what the man was telling him wasn't true. So he didn't even have to listen to him and ask him to leave. Sister Nora, Moses' wife, was confronted and was distraught at first, and mainly because they had many new members of the church in her community. They lived right within a mile of the headquarters of this other church. It's the church that Moses used to teach at their seminary. And so they had tried a lot in Moses' area, but she was steadfast and bore testimonies of that and the assurance that she was given. One of the things that we did this last time, this is Michael and Moses. You can't read that sign there, but this is outside of a little room that we rented in Nairobi, and there's a group meeting in Nairobi now. And we go to Nairobi, at least twice a trip. Usually it's more than that. So we were glad to have a congregation there. While we're there, we can meet with them. Fortunately or unfortunately, Nairobi has jobs, and so they can't meet during the week, so you have to be there on a weekend. And it takes us away from the other places. But that's good. We were in a room that wasn't 12 by 12, and we had 36 people in it. And it was a neat experience. It was Bob's first exposure to Kenya, and we had a wonderful service. There was a man there that was trying to give us trouble, but he backed down when we asked him where he got that from the scriptures. But it started. One of the reasons I wanted to show this slide, it started because one of the members of the church moved to Nairobi. And he said, "Hey, why don't you guys, to Michael and Moses, why don't you come here? I'll get a group of people to meet, and we'll have a congregation here, and my wife and I can attend it. And it's growing. I think there's 6 baptized members there right now. It has a lot of potential. This person that moved there happens to be Moses' nephew, whose father is in that other church. And they came and wanted to stop there when they were in Nairobi and meet with him. And the young man's wife said, "No, I don't want to have any part of them. They don't believe in the Book of Mormon." And so that he didn't even invite them there. And so that was a blessing. That we have, that's a new congregation that's going to grow. We made arrangements, rented a room about 3 times that size. It's about $40 a month or something, I think. Here's another, I missed one. How did that happen? No, I didn't. This is a little congregation here. They're meeting in this building that's been kind of abandoned. I don't know what they used it for. They might have kept livestock in it, but a man that's not a member of the church yet lets them use this. Brother Simon comes here a couple times a week. He rides a bicycle about 15 kilometers to get here. The name of the village is something like Muchungo Chungo. If that's right, I'll be amazed. But locals there. There's a couple that use this sign as a local. We hope that they will be, however. This is on one of the main roads coming out of Kisi, the Gatuka local. That's where Peter Moses is the pastor. He's a teacher, ordained teacher. Currently, he is having somebody take charge for him at most of the services, and he's going to another village. Starting a congregation there. This is a familiar sight, seeing all those school children walking down the street. I don't know what day we were there. It was probably during the week. They're probably going down to the bottom of that hill and getting water for the school and then walk back up a mile or so. And they do have to do that every day. This is that congregation. It's a very active, growing congregation. It's the first building that we had there in Kisi. The women of the congregation have some cooperative effort. They have a garden and they grow vegetables and sell it for their women's group. And they continue to grow there. This is, I put this picture in because it has a picture of the new vehicle that you bought. This is a Toyota four-wheel drive pickup, four-door. Two Americans in the front seat, about six Kenyans in the back seat. And then in that shell in the back, there's benches that fold down, and I don't know how many they put in there, but it is a very good vehicle. It's really been a blessing for us. I said some of that when I wrote my emails home, and we had absolutely no trouble. I did. It's got a little electronic problem. It blows some fuses, but I rather than let the mechanics and Kishi play with it, I drove it without brake lights or tail lights for 3 weeks until I could bring it back to the dealer. It's been a real blessing. It doesn't like hitting big rocks, though, at 40 miles an hour. I had a choice of rolling the car or having to buy a new tire. I chose the tire. That was the only problem we had, is a blowout, bringing Bob back to the road. I meant to, I think I can go back. Oh, I better not. This is a Sangara, one of the early congregations that we had some problems there. Some people were misusing and lying to the membership, and it had gone way down, and of people attending, and they're slowly coming back. And they've got, as you can see, they got a good Sunday school there, and Bob was enjoying the kids. This next slide is that's Stephen and his wife, Nora. They live in, they're new members of the church. I think she has probably had a child by now. I kept on telling her I thought it was going to be on my birthday on the 21st of November, but I haven't heard. So it's her first. That's not her daughter there. She and her husband live in the Kishi area. He is leading a small congregation there in Kishi that we just started. We rented a little building for him. We hope that it will grow into a local congregation where we'll have a facility and the church office and maybe a place for the missionaries to stay there, and we won't have to rent a house. That little girl is Diana. Margaret has adopted her. Her parents both died. She is a real sweetheart. Talks fluent English, Swahili, and Kishi. That's not good. That's worse. You can improve the performance of this slideshow by selecting options. Okay. Now, I promise that snowstorm, didn't I? I don't have any idea. That's mine. But you know what? It absolutely makes no difference, because that's my last slide. So I don't know how to shut that off either. But we're encouraged on having a congregation there in Kishi. It's like the county seat. It's the main part of it's the capital for the tribe of the Kishi tribe, and all our other congregations are in a 50 square mile radius of that area, and it'll be a big help to the work there to have a congregation there. And we're building a little 20 by 20 foot building that we rented is right on one of the main roads, and Margaret was busy cleaning it up and getting a sign made for the front of it the day we were leaving, and we're encouraged by that. They just completed a youth camp today in Kesey. They expected over 400 to 500 kids there. Going to be a week long. They'd rented a boarding school. The kids are off now for the holidays, the end of the semester in December, and they were renting the school for a week and providing all the counselors and the cooks and it was going to be, it's a blessing for the kids. You can really see it in the young groups as they prepare for it and in their singing and everything. They have some beautiful choirs and that. And I was overtaken in the new congregation when they got the choir out. You know, I'm kind of thinking, you know, this is another song. And, you know, and they break out in four-part harmony in English. Absolutely beautiful. You know, I was just taken back. And, you know, they do that without musical instruments. They now have a guitar because I bought them one. But they just love to sing gospel songs that I have great hopes there in the youth. In Tanzania, I spent a lot more time in Tanzania this last time. I spent 8 or 9 days there. And other than the fact that the weather rained every day and the roads were terrible, we just had a wonderful time. I spent 2 days having the leaders, the 7 leaders of the congregation come together, and we met in prayer and then in study for 2 days. A lot of good questions. I was thankful. There's some young men there are really grabbing hold. We had a problem. The church is not registered there yet. Where I hope to be this month or next month. We're very close. But then again, that's Africa, so I don't know. But we had a problem. When we got into Tanzania, we were told we couldn't meet because we weren't registered, and they considered us to be a business, so I had to pay $50 for a permit to do business for 10 days. I don't know who got the $50, but I figured that at $5 a day it was worth it. and they say that's going to go away when we get registered. We had a lot of baby blessings. We had like 50-some baby blessings in Tanzania. I mean, we had 29 in one congregation. It was wonderful. When we go back, I'm going back in January, and my wife Sue is going. Bill Malone and Karen are going, and we're going to spend time in Tanzania. We're going to have 3 regional meetings there while I'm there, and they have several candidates for baptism, and we held them off this time and told them to study some more, and we'll do it this next time, and we'll accomplish that and have a sacrament service at those 3 places while we're there. That work is going to grow. Right now we're being held back a little bit because of registration, but the Lord will, I'm sure, bless us in that. One of the things that I look back and I'm trying to find out what I learned from my experience there since the last time I've been able to talk to this congregation. And one of them is, don't give up on contacts. Don't give up on people that you've seen years ago or talked to or have left the church or whatever reason. Keep loving them. Keep talking to them. Keep visiting them. That's the thing that we saw. The best thing we did was we took a couple days. One day a congregation didn't hear we were going to be there. Well, we took that day and we went into homes. And usually we don't have time while we're there to do that. But it was fruitful. When we went into the Kanini area, Moses' congregation, he was concerned about some of the new people that were attending. And he asked us to go into the homes. And we did that and visited them. It was helpful. We did it with a man in Tanzania, a bright young man that for some reason got his feeling hurt 6 months ago and hadn't attended the first 6 months. And, you know, just because we had come into his house and took the time and talked to him, he promised us that he would attend. And he had some great ideas. And he had some complaints about the leader, and the leader was with us, and man apologized, it was just a great experience, and I was thankful for that. But you know, we see that here in this country. We see it. Brother Sheldon bore a testimony last Wednesday at the East Local. Somebody that had been actually was baptized in 1976 and left the church, lived in. Anybody remember where he lived? Sue? Somewhere in Europe. Yeah. I wanted to say France, but it wasn't France. And Germany or something. Had made contact off the webpage and ended up getting Brother Sheldon. You know, Brother Sheldon, are you the same man? He said, yeah. You know, here it is 30 years later. And he had been wandering around and was unsatisfied. And hopefully we'll have a contact. And that's a good lesson for us to remember. You know, the visit, keep on contacting. The growth of the work in these countries is through networking, is through somebody finding a job in another village and going there and getting some people and asking one of the missionaries or one of the ministry to come there and meet with them and start a congregation. And, you know, that is how it's growing in the Philippines. That's how it's growing in Africa and Honduras. And I believe it will work here. And has worked. And another thing that became strong in my mind is the need for us to study and to know the basic beliefs of the church in the early church history, the basic things. You know, how the Book of Mormon came forth, what it does, why we have it, what our beliefs are, how we're different than the other churches, what we have to offer in our beliefs, and how they are fulfilled or they're spoken of and taught in the Scriptures, and that we're different than the other churches, and that's so important that in the day and the time that we live now. That we need to continue to pray for those that have left the church. You know, this whole deal in Kishi, in this other church, there's two members of the church that had left and gone to them that I believe are going to be back in the Church of Christ over the problems that they had with the missionaries came from Australia and tried to cause trouble with the Church of Christ. And these men were not comfortable with it. You know, one of them stood up in one of their meetings. They were talking about the Book of Mormon was false, and the guy stood up. Well, an ex-member of the church, he said, no, I've read it. It's not false. You know, he's probably not going to be able to be in that church that long. But, he has asked about coming back, and we've been talking to him about repentance and the things that he would do, and I expect that they might come back. But I want us to take a second, and I did this in New York. I want you to look around. Just turn around, look at everybody. I want to introduce you to the missionary arm of the Church of Christ. It's all of us. And, you know, that's how the work grew in Christ's time. That's how it grew in the Americas in the 1830s. That's, you know, in the 1900s, and that's how it'll grow today, by us, and by us witnessing, and us reaching out, and to knowing the scriptural references, and being able to show them to others that we are ourselves personally prepared to present the gospel, and to be soldiers for Christ. You know, we need to continue in the faith. We need to continue. I'm going to read from Timothy. Am I still talking loud enough? Okay. I'm going to read from 2 Timothy, 15th verse. Second chapter, 15th verse. 2 Timothy 2, 15 through that. I don't know how far. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. So we know somebody can't come and deceive us. Pretty simple. But we have to do it. Yeah. He says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Don't get caught up in the theories and the other things that lead you into contention and disputations. Know the basic, simple gospel of Christ. And look forward with hope and the promises. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection had passed already, and overthrow the faith of some. You know, they got all caught up in the thought became the religion to them. You know, we're not to do that. We're to study, but, you know, let the Spirit direct us. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having with seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from an iniquity. But in a great house there are not many, only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man there purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You know, we're to separate ourselves from the world. We're to remove ourselves from iniquity. We're to have that godliness. We're to have the holy conversation. We're to be different in the Lord. And He'll bless us and use us because we'll be an example for Him. And so we're to remember the word of in verse 25 says, and in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. You know, in meekness, presenting the gospel. In love, allowing the Holy Spirit to work. And we're to do that with diligence, and we're to be steadfast in that. I'd like to turn over to Colossians. No, I'm not going to read it. What it says is for us to be firm. It says for us to be grounded, to be settled, to know, to study, to make ourselves approved, to understand the blessings of God, to look forward, this momentous time that we live in, to prepare ourselves spiritually, temporally, and within our daily lives and our jobs and everything that we do, that we can be vessels that the Lord will use to further His gospel. And He, no matter what trials or tribulations we must endure and we'll have to endure, He's faithful. He will not forsake us. That's His promise, and He doesn't change. And that's what's held out to us. We look and at times we think these are the last days. Oh, me. But are we to be thinking that? You know, praise the Lord. His mighty works are among us. And we're part of it. And we need to be prepared. And the Lord will continue to bless us. And He has blessed us. You know, all the things that we as a people have been able to accomplish in the Lord's with the Lord's involvement, of course, it has been amazing. But it's a small part of what the Lord has in store for those that love Him and the work of His gospel as it goes forth. And I'm thankful for the opportunity. And I know you are too. And I appreciate all your prayers for me when I'm traveling and in the missionary field and for the work wherever it might be, and for all our congregations. I was encouraged when Brother Jay Mosher stood up at the Phoenix reunion and said he was encouraged about the work in America. And he has great hopes that the work will grow here. And I do too. And I think we have to know that we're on that threshold. And the Lord is going to do a mighty work among the people. We don't know. We don't know where. But we just have to keep praying and being prepared and prepare ourselves individually, personally, that the Lord might use us, that we might be able to testify in our life or in something that we say or this being steadfast and standing up and knowing the scriptural references and letting others hope, know of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and the resurrection and eternal life. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Brickhouse. We're going to close this evening with hymn number 39. Take your bulletin with you. There's something going on every day and a couple of things on one day, so you're going to need it to keep track. And there are more in the foyer if you want to grab one. Righteous Heavenly Father, we thank you for another day to come to thy house and to bow the knee before thy holy throne. We ask that you will accept of our praise and our thanksgiving, that you will go with us as we leave here to go to our homes or to our work or our play, to school or whatever our activities, that we might let our light shine, that we might aid someone else, that we might extend thy church. We thank you, Lord, for all of the blessings, not for us alone, but in the missionary field, and we pray especially for those in the third world countries. Go with those that are isolated or alone, the sick or afflicted, the poor in spirit. O Lord, forgive us of our sins, and help us that we might be found doing thy work, giving you the praise, honor, and glory in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.